Hallelujah. Gracious God, we thank you this evening. The members of the choir confessed that they have given their lives to Jesus. Yes, Lord, my life is yours. What a wonderful thing for everyone in this gathering to be able to say, yes, Lord, my life is yours. For many in our communities to be able to say, yes, Lord, my life is yours. But we know that a time shall come, and we are looking forward to that eagerly, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. May that time come in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for this community in which we are. The hospital, teaching hospital, the College of Medicine, the whole of in this environment, the GRA Enugu, Enugu City, Enugu State, our country Nigeria. God, have your way. Especially here where we are in the university community. Even the one at Abani that we may call the main campus. We pray for the leadership of this university, for all who work in this university, for all who study in this university. Father, bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. And again, we open ourselves to your word. Let the Holy Spirit himself touch every one of us. May we hear. May we see you. May we understand what you are saying. And give us the will to obey you, that it may be well with us. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Has anybody any testimony? Especially from yesterday, if there is any testimony, just I want to give you 2 minutes out of the time we have. Okay, I will give testimony. You know, testimony can do a lot of things that you don't even expect. It's one of the secrets of the people that we call the Full Gospel Businessmen International. Every outreach, there is a prepared person for a testimony somehow. You know, and that has helped them, apart from the facts that they believe very strongly in the gospel and in the ministration of the Holy Spirit. Testimony of somebody who had encountered him and what Jesus continues to do in that life. And in what we call the purpose-driven church, it's one of the sessions we have on what is testimony and how do you give testimony. There's a session on that. And the church grows. The purpose-driven church. If you have not read that book, do well to read it. And not only reading, but because at any rate, you have to, first of all, read the purpose-driven life. So that whatever you're talking about, the purpose-driven church will be very effective. Praise the Lord. My wife is a witness that yesterday, she has been following me in quite a lot of meetings, but not all of them. But I don't think she can remember when she saw me in the way that I was yesterday. Nothing was happening to me as I left Awka and I was coming here. Over the past weeks and months, I didn't have any problem of any type. Even where we are staying, we arrived here around 1 o'clock. I was not having any problem. And we went to where we were to stay. And then I started to feel terribly bad. It was maybe inside my stomach, you know, that area. I was troubled. I had to use the convenience, you know, a few times, about three times or so, about three times. I was not having any running stomach or whatever you may call it. I was not being purged. But I was still going there and passing some stool somehow. A thing was biting me. And it appeared as if I was losing my strength. And at a point, I felt like somebody having a fever. I started to suspect, is it malaria? You know, which I can't remember when I had malaria last, by the grace of God. So, all kinds of things happening. To the extent that, when they came for us to start coming here, we were already moving. I had to go back to take the key and back to the hotel room. Because I was, you know, human beings, something was telling me, and that thing was not my mind, because I cannot be talking to myself like that. But something was telling me that you are going to see today. You are going to suffer today. It will be a real disgrace for you. And that was why I really had to go and say, let me ease myself again in case, you know. And I had to do that. And I was, well, saying maybe a little prayers in my heart. Eventually I came here and sat down. And that thing was telling me, because there was the way this thing was coming up here, we are going to vomit inside this church, and they will say, ha, our guest preacher. You better run that side and see where there's a place you can. All kinds of things coming into this head. So I said, the just shall live by faith. And now look at this, what is happening to me. In fact, when we are coming, I wanted them to stop and see whether I would get something like jelly seed or something. I said, well, we were already coming and we didn't have much time. That are we coming? So you see how serious it was to go and get jelly seed. And you're going to speak on the just shall live by faith. You know, what is this? The truth is that things can happen at any time. But not at the point that I was to speak in any meeting. I've not seen this kind of thing. I asked her, is this an attack or what? To cut the long story short, because I know what I went through. People were seeing me there. They didn't know what I was going through. But the time the choir was singing, hallelujah. The time they were singing, I wasn't hearing what they were saying very well, but I looked and saw what they were saying. I started to again encourage myself. Do you remember what they said about the altar? Does any person remember what they said? Do you remember the song? Anyway, I spoke back to that thing that was speaking to me. I said, enough of your noise. The time has now come for me to stand there. And I will tell you that somebody sent me here. You have no business in this matter. Hallelujah. And to be honest, immediately I stepped up here, that thing disappeared completely. Till now. Hallelujah. Our God lives. Our God reigns. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that same God that touched me, if he's merciful to touch somebody like me, then I want to assure you that you are in a better position to receive God's grace and mercy. He will meet you at the points of your needs. Because I don't pray more than any of you. It's only the grace of God. I started to think that God was teaching me another lesson. A man does nothing good. But he gave me this testimony, maybe to tell me that there are many more who will have their testimonies. Amen. God has done so much for me. You know, when the choir has led in a time of worship, and one of those preachers or believers or whatever, who strongly believe that it's not for me to be singing another song or leading in another worship, but to speak the word of God that I'm called up to speak. But I will still sing one song, which you may like to join. And that song is an old song which some of you may know, and you know. But I will also sing the Igbo version. Please sing it, because it's part of my message, it's part of this testimony, it's part of what I believe God is doing here right now. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus heals, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus heals, and his blood washes whiter than snow. Let's clap our hands and see how it goes. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus heals, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus heals, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus heals, and his blood washes whiter than snow. Ekwerem, Jesus Nazopota, Obara, Yanasa, Chapunjom. Ekwerem, Jesus Nazopota, Obara, Yanasa, Chapunjom. Amen. Ekwerem, Jesus Nazopota, Obara ya na sacha punjo. Ekwerem, Jesus na gwoorya, Obara ya na sacha punjo. Amen. Ekwerem, Jesus na zopota, Obara ya na sacha punjo. Ekwerem,
Amen.
Let us be seated.
It is our confession.
As children of God, especially those who belong to the just, who are saved, and then they live by faith. Yesterday, we looked at the just, who are there, and we looked at how somebody can join this group of the righteous people, righteous in the sight of God. We made it clear that no one is righteous, no, not even one. From the Bible, it is very clear that self-righteousness cannot lead anybody anywhere. Activities in the church are very good. Positions in the church are wonderful. But these things have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. There is only one way to enter into that kingdom, and Jesus is the way. We made it very clear from the scriptures that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Unfortunately, this matter of pride and self-righteousness don't allow many to come into that kingdom. They assume that they are okay. But Cornelius was not okay with all the good things said about him until they went that distance to call Peter to speak the word of God to him. The angel could not speak that word of God because he did not have that experience. We must hear from our fellow human beings who, by the grace of God, have received Christ and are able to share the experience with us. Let's be humble enough to listen to our fellow human beings. That man that Jesus talked about was there in a place of suffering and saying, "Oh, send this man to go back and tell my people." He said, "No, there's no going back. There are people there with them. They should better listen to them. We're not going to send back that man." And we looked at somebody like Paul, who was very zealous, a great barrister, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, and rushing up and down, believing that he was fighting for God, as many people did in those days, throwing Christians out of the church. And because that kind of persecution is no more around, everybody in the church, the sheep and the goat, have become Christians. We are not able to say the truth to people now. But he said, "Examine yourselves. You must know the kind of life you are living." So, we are now going to look at living by faith. We are going to look at it briefly. For if we have joined the group of the righteous, people who are delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, then we are able to talk about living by faith. Let us go back to that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." There is the larger context of that statement. But you know that the writer to the Hebrews was writing to encourage them Just as he said here towards the end of his letter, that's what he was saying to them right from the beginning. People who had been justified by Christ, who had been saved, they knew who they were. But because of problems of life, just as Jesus said, that some will receive the word, and this word will fall among the thorns. You know? So you see that some people actually have received the word, and because of persecutions and difficulties, the temptation to shrink back is there. Let us face the fact. Some Christians are really suffering, and they begin to grumble, just as when they were brought out of Egypt. They knew what they were suffering there, and they were crying. But when they then came out and made some other types of difficulties, they started grumbling, murmuring, which brought, of course, all kinds of punishment to them. That eventually, those who left and that would have reached Canaan, we are not able to do so. May it not be our portion in the name of Jesus. That there is how you started somehow, but you are not able to reach the end. I say, God forbid. And that is one of the things that we need to note this weekend. And so, if we are going to understand Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, I suggest that we go to Hebrews chapter 2. It will help us. Some of the things said earlier will help us to understand what was said towards the end of that letter. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Remember that we are doing Bible reading this weekend. I'm using the Revised Standard Version. Therefore, we must pay the closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Pay closer attention. You see, lack of attention, people sleeping, people come and are looking around, people come even to a meeting, they are thinking other things. It's always there. And so the whole thing about worship and praying, you see, that's what we call approach to God. Approach to God. It's a kind of movement. As we come into the Holy of Holies, there's a way we come nearer to God and He comes nearer to us. Concentration is very important. You must say to yourself, I've left my home. I've driven to this place. It's not that God is not here. God is everywhere. But why am I here at this particular time? So whenever you go for revival meetings, for seminars, for Bible studies, for prayer meetings, be determined to intentionally, deliberately feel the presence of God. Tell yourself that God is here and He has something for me. Be saying it to yourself. No person is above distraction, and there are so many distractions, just like the one I had yesterday, physical and spiritual. He was bold enough to be whispering to my ear. But God gave me the grace to speak back to him and said, you are a liar and father of lies. So, this is why people do some recordings to play back certain things. They take some notes of what they want to remember, and so on and so forth. You see, Christian growth and maturity is not an automatic thing. It's not. You will teach yourself how to remember things. Those camps and conferences you attend to, and sometimes you spend money. Those seminars, just like students preparing for exam, they read, they take notes, and so on. We are all students of the Word of God. We must be diligent in studying the Word of God. The year has started again.
And a number of people do not know how to keep the quiet time. They don't have things to help them to study the Word of God systematically, devotionally, and so on. The year has started, and no plans of how to deepen their knowledge of the Word of God. Say, pay closer attention. I don't know how your own version put up those things, but we don't have time to read various versions. Sometimes it's good to read other versions, even in a meeting like this. So you see that when the Holy Spirit is saying something in some of these verses, it is very, very serious. But why? He says, so that you do not drift away. So that you do not fall away. But the word drift catches what is happening here. Whatever your version says. Illustration is, you know, the canoes, the boats, how they are anchored by the seashore. And when that boat is not anchored, it's left there without being anchored. You come the first day, it appears that it's still there. The second day, then you leave that boat there and go away for about a week or two. If you stay from a distance, you will not know that that boat has moved from the position where it was. If you say, let me go out for a month or 2 months, by the time you come back, that boat will be in the middle of the sea, if at all you are still seeing it. Are you following what I'm saying? Drifting is a slow process. Say, pay closer attention. Some people have been highly gifted, and it's very painful that for some reasons, some sort of spiritual carelessness, not applying those spiritual habits, the simple things that we are told in what we call follow-up classes during counseling and all those things. They seem to be basic. But when you don't form those good habits, you won't know when you begin to drift and begin to compromise. Verse 2. For if the message declared by angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? This is to Christians, those who have tested the truth and are going through tough times. And the tendency to forget that tough times may last, yes, but will not last forever. But tough people will overcome tough times. So two things here. Do not drift and do not neglect this wonderful salvation. In some of his proverbs, Jesus said that when that man saw that treasure of great price, he went and sold everything he had to go and buy that portion of the land in order to get that. He sold everything. And in Paul's confession, when he discovered Jesus, he met him on the way to Damascus. He said, every other thing that was gained to me, I counted as loss, as rubbish, for the excellency of knowing him. Hallelujah. Let us know what it means that the devil himself, right from Adam, decided, and he was thinking that he had master plan, that everybody coming into this world will be going to hell. And God in Christ came to bring us back to himself. That we will not be in that place of eternal torture and suffering, but that we will be with him in a place of eternal joy. Hallelujah. It's a very wonderful thing. Dear friends, the world is passing away. This world surely must come to an end. In the time of Noah, they did not believe him, but it happened. And so it is that this world will come to an end. And God will do new things. We must take it seriously. That is part of this, the just shall live by faith. So that we will not allow the present things to make us, whether they are pleasures or whether they are problems. The earthly pleasures or the worldly problems must not take us away where we are going, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, it's one of the things that he said here. If we are going to live by faith, it is faith in him, looking unto him. Well, let me just, I'm picking just a few things, because we are limited by time. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. This is the book that talked about falling away, drifting. That there is the possibility of backsliding, and we are seeing it. Some people backslide and never come back. It's unfortunate. In this weekend, tell yourself the truth. Don't say you answered the altar call, then you are a Christian forever. If you are going to be sincere, you will pray and pray and pray in this meeting that God will bring you back to the cross. Durum lagachi na kavari. Durum lagachi na kavari. E benge janyam ho iheme hiemere. Durum lagachi na kavari. You must go back to the cross if you are going to pick up from where you have fallen and begin again to run that race. And God will help you in Jesus' name. Falling away. So it's not just going to 10:38. He was saying something before he used that word shrinking back. Now look at a more serious thing yourself. In chapter 4, 14 and 16 of that Hebrews, we are just trying to tell you that Hebrews 10:38 is in a larger context, which we must take note of. Hebrews 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. It's not something to toy with. Let us hold fast. We have made the confession by the grace of God. Maybe in one of your public testimonies or any other way, or people know you as a Christian because you have said yes, you are one of them. In your office, and where you do business, and so on. Then you must hold that confession wherever you are, so that you don't disgrace yourself, don't ridicule the name of God.
Once you begin to do that, it's already backsliding. It does not please God. It doesn't please God. Verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Like now. If you don't have need, I have. Not only the physical and material needs. There are all kinds of needs. Because we are human beings. So we have said, don't drift, please. Don't feel at ease and you don't know that you are not where you are supposed to be. The first love has been lost. And don't neglect this salvation. Hold it fast wherever you are. And then there is the issue of confidence. Don't throw it away. He's talking about constant prayer, coming to the throne of grace, the throne of mercy. There's no other way to continue to receive the blessings from God. It's communion with God all the time, as much as we have to do it. Then chapter 6 verse 1. Therefore let us, you know, this is another letter of let us, let us, let us. It's one of the things that you know about Hebrews. Very characteristic of Hebrews. Let us, let us, let us. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Let me just leave it there. Hebrews 6:1a. Go on to what? Maturity. Christian maturity is a topic by itself. So that we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. As Paul told the Ephesians. Some versions will talk of perfection there, but when we are talking of perfection, there are different ways to understand what perfection is all about. Somebody has tried to help us in that idea of perfection, the old English, by saying that there is the perfection of the bud, B-U-D, and there is the perfection of the flower. At that bud stage, it is perfect. But it's yet to become flower. So there are stages of perfection, if you like. If you want to use the word perfect. But we're talking of going on to maturity and continuing to grow in grace. An egg that is a good egg is perfect. But it's yet to be hatched to become what is expected to be. So that is the process of growth. Now, having said that, we are talking about living by faith. And these are the things we have to take note of. I want to mention about six things about life of faith. And then we begin to pray. A life of faith is a life lived in the Word of God. A life of faith is a life lived in the Word of God. I want to read Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. Whether it's preaching or reading or hearing and so on, Word of God. Faith. The Word of God builds our faith. There are other scriptures that we cannot get into now. But if somebody is talking about growing in faith, that person must be reading the Word of God constantly. The more you read the Word of God, the more you know who God is. The more you know His promises that you have to depend on, that you have to use in prayer, that you have to use in facing situations and circumstances of life. The Word of God. Let us not be lazy about it. Make a plan to continue to study the Word of God. Your Bible has atlases. You don't need to go to Bible school. It has concordance. Some of them have short commentaries. Make use of all these things that you have in your Bible whenever you set a little time to study. Maybe at weekends for your own personal study. It's different from devotion, morning devotions with your family and then your personal quiet time. These things are not the same. You will see that there will be a lot of difference. You will be happy with yourself. And God will be happy with you. There's more confidence. You are not going to be trembling at everything. You know. Because we are living in the days now. If you move to some other circles, you see that what is being preached everywhere is fear, 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 and enemy, enemy, enemy. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. You may not understand because maybe you are not in that environment. Every prayer now that people are praying in many places is, raise up your hand. You know, my enemy, those who are planning this for me, those who are planning that for me, how do you know they're planning anything for you? You know, all kinds of imaginations. Every time, enemy. Crossover night is all about, I will not die this year. I will not die this year. Well, it's a good prayer. But some people will still die this year. That is just the point. Just live your life. And even if you are praying for long life, don't be saying that there's an enemy who wants to kill you. We're always looking for enemies. It's the Word of God that we need to follow for a life of faith. I don't want to know if I'm going to my village tomorrow, whether there's somebody there. I'm going to attend a funeral somewhere, whether somebody is going to poison me that is rubbish. You know, we are operating on another level, children of God. We are on another level. This is what we should teach people, to know that we are in a different kingdom. You see? And we don't need to fear. A life of faith is a life of obedience. That's the second thing I want to say. Abraham was a classical example. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And the Bible tells us of how he had to leave his place, the Ur of Chaldees, not knowing where he was going, because he was sure that it was God who spoke to him. Look at how it is put in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, and so on. But that obedience is very, very important for a Christian. When we live in rebellion, you know the will of God and you don't want to take it,
What does God teach about marriage? What does He teach about Christian giving? What does God teach about holiness? What does God teach about our relationship with our neighbors? And so on and so forth.
And we obey God.
As citizens of our nation, what does the Bible teach us as our responsibilities? How do we live as examples in keeping to the regulations, traffic regulations, and other things? Showing example to others, the life of obedience.
We have to live the life of faith. The
third thing there
is that it's a life of victory. Can somebody say victory? It's a life of victory, the life of faith. This victory is the victory that Jesus has given to us. His victory through the cross. We are standing on the victory already won. And that is a great thing. Let's see what John says about this victory. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I think it's easy to remember. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Little children, you are of God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." You have overcome. Victory. We are overcomers. But look at chapter 5, verse 4 again. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." The word comes out here clearly. As we live by faith and not by sight, as the Bible tells us. As we live by faith and not by feelings, or even the symptoms in my body. As we live by faith, we overcome. Amen. We overcome. I see quite a number of children here, and it gives me hope. It gives me hope that the church will continue to march on. It gives me hope of a better society. Even in this country. Children that are here, wave your hands to Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus. Don't worry if you are sleeping. Some of you are awake anyway. The Lord bless you. You will overcome. Victory is yours. Despite all kinds of mess in the education sector now. Not only poor funding and all those things. But some certain things that are coming from outside and are putting in our syllabus for the children. You will never be confused. You will live a life of faith in the name of Jesus. It's a great burden. We must be praying for our children, actually. Victory. Victory. The Christians of old had many songs about victory.
And, you know, they were positive about life. They did not have room for this despondency, despair, discouragements, and so on and so forth. Victory, victory, precious blood bought victory. It was bought by His blood. Precious blood bought victory. Victory, victory, victory all the time. As Jehovah liveth, strength divine He giveth unto those who love Him.
victory all the time. And so on and so forth. As we continue this year, my prayer for you is that in whatever situation you are, God will grant you victory. For the rest of your life, that God will grant you, you will have victory. Every problem that comes, because challenges will come, but they are there to strengthen you, not for you to look back and begin to grumble. For the rest of your life, it will be victory after victory. In the name of Jesus Christ. I sincerely believe this. It's a life of faith. It's a life of faith. And if it is a life of faith, then fear, which is the opposite, will be a stranger in your life. Dangers are there, but don't be afraid. The one who said, "Fear not, it is I," is still with us. "Be not dismayed," he is still with us. Let us hear such voices from time to time, coming from the scriptures and reminding us that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us. Amen. It reached a point when I was thinking, what will my wife do if I collapse here now? That was yesterday. Haven't you heard of people even standing like this and collapsing? Doctors may tell us cardiac arrest or whatever. Some people in some other studies talk of burnt out. Person has maybe stresses, yes. Burnt himself out. But thank God that we are still here. He gives us victory every day. One day we pass on, but not until that day. The devil has no business in our lives. Victory. Number four. A life of faith is a life of hope, endurance, and perseverance. Hope, endurance, and perseverance. That's when we come back to that Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 to 39. So I read it again in that context. We'll continue to read it. We're not tired of it. From verse 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised." I know someone who was doing her work as a Christian, and in their office started a Christian fellowship, and was one of those who refused to collect bribe, and when they collect and bring to share, this person refused to partake. Said, "No, please, don't count me there." And because of this person's stand in the office, and became a senior officer somehow, you know, was a senior officer who could be sent to some other places to supervise something, investigate what's happening, and make proper reports. Some people did not like this person that I'm talking about, and eventually got a very early retirement. They just sent a letter and said, "Well, sign that You know, it happened to be also at a time they were doing this kind of retrenchment in some places, but this one was not. I think they used the opportunity. But like what Joseph told his brethren, what you thought was not what God, you know, it was not as you thought. God has a better plan for me. That person has not died. That person is alive. That person is doing very well. And that person is better than quite some people who retired eventually. Can somebody clap for Jesus? What I'm trying to say is that if you are faithful, you may even be punished. You may even be sacked. Anything can happen to you because you are standing for Christ. He said you need endurance. You need to persevere. You have hope. Something good is coming. When one door closes, another door will open. Never you give up, because God is by your side. I say God is by your side. A life of faith. You must always see Him. You must always see Him. I just remembered one of the passages that I don't know why. For many years, I didn't even understand it, but I loved that place until it started to make more meaning to me. That is Psalm 16, I think. Let me get at it quickly so that you see some of the things that I'm talking about. Psalm 16, the last verse, verse 11. Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God by your side. David knew what it meant for God to be by his side. Against the dangers in the forest. Against Goliath, against Saul, and so on. And he was, of course, a great military man. Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. A place to stand. Now, a life of faith. It's not only a life in the word of God, a life of obedience, a life of victory, a life of hope, endurance, and perseverance. It is also, in the fifth place, a life that rejects sin and all its appearances. A life of faith is a life that rejects sin and all his appearances. Because what is faith? Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. Verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. Amen. So pleasing God, God that is holy, God that is righteous, a life of faith that wants to continue to walk with this God, must reject sin and all its appearances. We have dealt with what we may call the Adamic sin yesterday. But lest we forget, when we are talking about rejecting sin, let's look at an example of what we call the manifestation of sin. In Galatians chapter 5, which is very well known. Galatians chapter 5, from verse 19. Are you still with me? Now the works of the flesh are plain. But remember that we are talking of living by faith and not people that are living by the flesh. You see? So, it will be a great contradiction for somebody to be living a life of faith and still enjoying sin. The life of faith. The manifestations. Look at what is being listed there. Fornication. Impurity. Licentiousness. Some of these things we don't need to be explaining one by one, but you know, sexual impurity and aberrations now, all kinds of abuses, terrible things that are being advertised even openly. The way they have made sex to be a goddess, people worship. You know, it's terrible, terrible, terrible. So this is what is being condemned here. People are not ashamed of nakedness in many ways. Men and women, young and old, for that matter. That is not the life. Whether in secret or in public, we should abstain from these things. It goes on to say, idolatry. That is terrible. Now, in Igbo land, sorcery, enmity, all these quarrelings and what have you, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, discrimination. Don't know whether people still talk about Osu and all these things. All kinds of discrimination. You know, whether tribal, ethnic, social. We must avoid every form of discrimination in the body of Christ. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. The list continues. Everything that is evil. He said, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not. The manifestation of evil. I want to pause here and say this, please. Yesterday, I saw something in the Bible. It has been there, we have been reading it, but I was away, it touched me again. Where Jesus was looking at some people. These people were very religious and leaders in their religion. And he said to them, with all the love in his heart, you will die in your sins. I mean, Jesus telling people directly, loving confrontation, that I may call it, you will die in your sins. If you don't know it's in the Bible, you can turn to John chapter 8 verse 21 and see it there. And then I thought it would stop there. He continued and said it three times to them. Because in John chapter 8, verse 24, after saying it in verse 21, he said it twice. You will die in your sins. You are very religious. You don't commit fornication. This is called manifestation of sins now. You fast two times in a week.
You wear long robes and make long prayers? Yes. You lead services in the synagogue? Yes. You will die in your sins. When we are saying some of these things, please try to know where you are so that you can take your own decision. Because the scriptures have been written for us. Now in verse 24, he said, I told you that you will die in your sins. John chapter 8 verse 24. For you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. It's a serious matter. I got troubled, seriously. He said it in verse 21. And he said it again here. I have told you, you will die in your sins. And you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he. I don't know whether you're here. You are here. Very religious. But you are a religious sinner. You will be given an opportunity to quietly make peace with God. Because every one of us at one point or the other had to take a decision. Whether we follow the narrow way that leads to life or the broad road everybody follows that leads to destruction. You must take that decision. It's not enough to be joining in fellowships, joining here and there, going for meetings here and there. You must know on which side you are. The life of faith is a life that rejects sin. So when I looked at this, I said, what Jesus was saying here was certainly not a wish, because he can never wish anybody anything bad. It was not a wish. You know, there's a statement you make, it becomes a wish. And he was not cursing them. It was not a curse either. Far be it from my Lord, when he came to remove curse, he cannot put curse on anybody. Amen. It was a statement of fact. Not a wish, not a curse, but a statement of fact. And that remains till today. Unless you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Savior of the world, and you give your life to him, you will die in your sins. And when you read further in the scriptures, you see what happens to those who die in their sins. And there's something said about those who die in the Lord. Blessed are they who die in the Lord. My prayer is that anyone who has come or even hearing us through any of the social facilities that are now available, you are hearing us online. My prayer is that you will not die in your sins. You will respond to God's love by the way of repentance and forsaking your sins. It's absolutely important. A life of faith is a life in the Word of God. Study it. Read it. Believe it. Act on it. It's a life of obedience. Obedience brings blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 24 is a classical example. And everything you read today in the scriptures, you see those who obeyed God and those who disobeyed. It's a life of victory, the life of faith that we're talking about. And once you are living that life of faith and looking unto Jesus, no power, no force can bring you down in the name of Jesus Christ. Victory is yours and mine. It's a life of hope, endurance, and perseverance. You have no right whatsoever
to take your physical life because God created you. You have no right to get to a point of discouragement that you become depressed. Don't allow you to get to that stage. Because once depression sets in, if care is not taken, if there's no counseling, if there's no adequate help, it can lead to something disastrous. That's why we should always, be our brother's keepers. See how we feel in our visitations, in our interactions. When you see somebody always moody and wanting to be alone and all, that kind of thing, please pray more. Try to see how you can show more love to this person. Let's bring them out, because at that point, confusion has set in. At that time, that person is no more. Some people may talk of mental illness. But when we say Jesus saves, Jesus heals, as we begin to pray again today, I want to tell you that healing is not only physical healing. Jesus heals. There's mental healing. There's healing of relationships. People who have not been talking to themselves and things like in the families, in the larger societies, in the places of work. He heals relationships. One of the last things he did was to reconcile Herod and Pilate. Do you remember? Yes. That is Jesus. He heals relationships. There's what is called the healing of memories. Some people, because of an experience, even at childhood, a terrible experience at a younger age. There was a kind of something that brought a kind of trauma to that child or to that person, even an older person at a younger age, that affects that person's life. The way the person thinks and behaves, and the kind of fears in that person's life. And this issue of rape is a terrible thing. It can also condition people into certain things. But when they remember, when they recollect some of these things, it affects them. But when Jesus heals, he heals memories. He heals memories. Push those things out of you. You become normal. Amen. We have seen it again and again. What even the psychiatrists cannot do, and I respect them, Jesus can do it. I say Jesus can do it.
Yes.
Yes. Healing. That leads me to the last point here. The sixth point is that a life of faith is a life that we call abundant life. Can somebody say abundant life? And you all know about it. That's the way Jesus put it in John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is life in its fullness. It's the totality of being healthy. You are blessed in such a way that you are able to bless others. Materially, physically, spiritually, you have a good position. God prospers you. You are enriched in the real meaning of enrichment. And that is one of the things that attract people to Christianity. God did not send us to be miserable. To be people that others will sympathize with. They see you and say, oh, what a pity. No. abundant life, the life of faith. You don't go seeking for it in the wrong way. So we are going to pray and thank God for all the things He's been to us. But let me tell you one thing, because that's part of what I'm going to do now. The whole thing begins like this. Jesus came and said, I came to seek and to save the lost. So, those who have gone the wrong way, all of us, Isaiah said about 600 years before Jesus came, we are like sheep that went astray. All of us have gone astray. That Isaiah 53 is one of the clearest prophecies about the coming Messiah. On him, the iniquity of us all was to be upon. Listen to me very carefully. So when he came, he stated that. Some people sing that song. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. No matter what you have committed as sin, we as preachers or anybody can never condemn you. The gospel is good news. The gospel is about love of God. So, we are doing what we are doing because we are sinners. If you are here, let not pride prevent you from accepting Christ. So, that song goes on to say, He did not only come to seek, it was to save He came. And when we call Him Savior, and when we call Him Savior, and when we call Him Savior, then we call Him by His name. So, you can say, you know, there are many ways when we are worshiping, we call names. You know, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, this and that, Jesus, Emmanuel, my Lord. You know, we say so many things. But if He's not your Savior, you have not started. When He becomes your Savior, then He becomes your Lord. You begin to obey Him. He begins to direct you. And incidentally, God, in that first move to bring man to Himself, came down seeking for man. You know, many times we say we are seeking for God. Seek God, seek God. Jesus said He came from the throne, from that glory, to seek. He came to seek for us. God came down that very day that man sinned, the same thing, and was seeking for man. And there was a question. Where are you? Adam, where are you? What happened was that the man started to hide. That question was for him to make a confession, to realize his sins. God saw him. God put him in that place. God was not asking him to show him where he was. No, God was not looking for him in that sense. So when God is saying here today, where are you? He wants you to say the truth, whether you are in fornication, adultery, sorcery, magic, wulu wulu, yahoo, 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 and all kinds of gambling. He wants you to say where you are. Tell yourself the truth. Are you in any cult, local or foreign? Where are you? Are you in the masquerade cult? Where are you? Are you one of those cheating and duping people? Where are you? Are you those that have been imprisoned with pornography? You are in bondage to all kinds of bad habits. Why is he asking the question? Just to set you free. Just to remind you, he has paid the price for you to enter into the kingdom of light.
That is why asking that question. God came down seeking for man. That same God is seeking for you. Will you come? Because he wants to give you better than what was given to Adam on that day. It is that robe of righteousness that Jesus will give you. The righteousness of God, which we talked about yesterday. You are naked when you are in sin. You are dead when you are sin. You have no life. The just shall live by faith. Maybe by tomorrow there will be a way we'll just try to wrap up these things. You have not started living. Talk less of living by faith. When you are living in sin, you are dead. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And following. You read it there. He was telling Christians that there was a time you were dead in your trespasses. So every sinner is dead. You are a walking corpse. You don't see, you don't hear, you don't hear anything. That's why the confusion. It may be sad to say like that, but that is the truth. If Jesus could say to them, you will die in your sins. And that's what Satan likes. I say to you, from today, you shall live by faith. Shall we stand to pray? If you are able to stand, if you are not, just sit down. There's no problem. We're going to pray for those who are not well physically, emotionally, in their relationships, even in the family. We're going to pray for healing, the healing move of God. There's nothing that God cannot do. I know the things he did for me, and he can do more for you. I'm not here to give so many testimonies, whether for myself or the one I saw in others. But I know that God has all power. God is merciful. Ask him for that you want now. Pray concerning yourself, that you need. Pray about that. As a student, pray. As a business person, pray. As a professional, pray. As a teacher, lecturer, pray that God will help you. As a husband, as a wife, pray. As a child, pray. God is here to bless us. Abundant life follows a life of faith. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Sharama Katamba Sike, Rema La Sela Bakurike La Siala, Embarama Sukite Leba Shurike Sela Sia, Entaraka Sama Shurike Seba Kutarika, Wayarama Semboroko Sema Kandara Bakinde. In the name of Jesus Christ. People don't even say amen here. In the name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for the word we have shared together this evening. We thank you for your word is true. Your promises are true. They are yea and amen in Christ himself. And so we pray, trusting your word for any child here that is not well, for any person here that is physically ill, even for those right now in our hospitals, especially the hospital here, in different wards, we pray for healing in the name of Jesus.
Help the doctors and the nurses and those taking care of them. Give insights, give knowledge, give understanding, that there be right diagnosis, right treatment. We pray against fake drugs entering into Nigeria. We pray against anything that will worsen the situation of your children. Let there be healing, and you bring healing in many ways to your people. Let there be healing. Let there be testimonies of deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. As your people walk by faith, it is a walk in the Spirit. The walk in the Spirit does not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And so I pray tonight, following your word, for victory over the works of the flesh, in the name of Jesus Christ. None of us will backslide. None of us shall fall away. There's no apostasy among the children of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we shall not give up under any situation. The joy of the Lord shall continue to be our strength. In the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Father, as your people go home tonight, they will know that your peace that passes all understanding . Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.